Each Tuesday night is an opportunity for our coaching session on achievement, pieces of achievement. And I will just say, tonight's coaching session is the culmination of this series of coaching sessions on achievement, each one building to an important place. So you may not even remember what the first one was, but it was our semantic priming, that work done by Dr. J.R. Stroop. As we talked about colors and the fact that there's really something going on between this space between our ears, and the way we treat that space influences our performance and our outcomes. What we think, how we prepare, the things we put into that great big smart computer makes all the difference in what we get out of it. And then the performance formulas and all the pieces that we've been talking about lead to this culminating topic. So tonight we're going to be talking about goal science and theory, all of the Griffin Hill six dimension way. So we're going to take a look inside goal setting techniques and principles in a very deep way, in a scientific way, with ideas and twists that we have refined at Sixth Dimension over 30 years. And it will really be profound. I'd like to lay the groundwork with maybe three specific quotes. These are all men that I admire for their stature and their own accomplishment and their own thoughts. It starts with Thomas Gilbert. As a human performance scientist, I revere, he's probably my favorite human performance scientist, the one that I look to as a primary mentor and someone whose ideas and thoughts and philosophies I adhere and follow. This is what Thomas Gilbert said. Mistakes in decisions about goals are the single greatest cause of human incompetence. Now, I'm going to say that again and let it kind of sink in for you a little bit. Mistakes in decisions about goals are the single greatest cause of human incompetence. Now, you think about that for just a moment and think about what that means. What mistakes could we make about decisions around goals and goal setting? Cammy, what do you think? What kind of mistakes could we make that would lead to our incompetence?
Overwhelm ourselves, set it too high.
Oh, Cammy nailed it. When we set our goals way too high so that they're not achievable, we become overwhelmed, we make the fiery attempt, the valiant try, but we make little progress on this great big thing, and we become overwhelmed, and it exterminates the goal. Excellent, brilliant, nicely done. Teresa, what do you think? What is a mistake that we could make in our decisions about goals and goal setting?
I think sometimes we'll be on fire to get started and we'll be gung-ho and then we'll give up too soon.
Oh, this is so great. Not having the patience to stick with it, to follow through, to say, oh, I was all enthused yesterday, but today I, you know, sat back and had an ice cream cone and let my brain fog over and I'm not sure I've got the enthusiasm for it. And we terminate out of impatience. Excellent. Well, these are some of the mistakes. I think some of the other mistakes would be not to set goals, not to give ourselves that initial, okay, I'm committed to this, away we go. All of those would be mistakes and decisions about goals that would lead to incompetence. And in fact, what we now know is that 59% of adults in this nation either never or rarely set goals. That's a mistake. In a decision about goals and goal setting that will absolutely lead to their incompetence. Now, just think about this. One of the most remarkable human performance scientists, in my estimation, that ever graced this planet. Mistakes in decisions about goals are the single greatest cause of human incompetence. So in 59%, nearly 60% of adults in this nation start out by saying, I never or rarely set goals. That is a mistake in decisions about goals and goal setting that will absolutely lead to incompetence. That should be a great takeaway for you tonight, that you've made a determination to be a goal setter and a goal achiever. And that if it's true that mistakes in decisions about goals can lead to incompetence, then surely it is true that making good decisions about goals and goal setting will lead to our competence, our achievement, our fulfillment in this life. Okay, second. And we won't dwell on this one as long, but I love the work done by William Jennings Bryan, a philosopher early in our nation, who said this, destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for. It's a thing to be achieved. Randall, when you think about that, destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for, it's a thing to be achieved. Randall, when you think about William Jennings Bryan's quote here, what comes to your mind? What stands out to you?
It comes down to choice. I mean, you make a choice, you commit to it, you get a plan, you stick with it, and you know, come what may, you just grit your teeth sometimes.
Yeah, because it's about the choices that we make initially and along the road. It's not something to be waited for. It's not something to wait to happen to us. It's something we choose to make happen. And I picked on Randall for a specific reason. We're going to be celebrating him in just a moment. Excellent. Okay, here's another one. I had to print this one out because I don't have it committed to heart. I've got the principles committed. This is M. Russell Ballard, very successful business person, community leader, and religious leader. I am so thoroughly convinced that if we don't set goals in our life and learn how to master the techniques of living to reach our goals, we can reach a ripe old age and look back on our lives only to see that we have accomplished but a small portion of our full potential. When one learns to master the principles of setting a goal, he will then be able to make a great difference in the results he attains in this life. John, I want to hear your thoughts on that one.
Well, I appreciate him particularly because I had a nice interview with him years ago. Wow. I don't know, I was on the High Council, and he's a special person to me. But again, it's back to the idea is the agency, and it's the you that gets to determine that. And if we could ever just understand that we are in the driver's seat, if we just had the confidence that what we really want to accomplish in life, it's really us and what we want to do. We just need to believe in ourselves that we can do that and we can achieve whatever. We just need to have more faith in ourselves, that we're a lot more powerful than what we give ourselves credit.
John, I love the way you've said that. And that's what I like about Mr. Ballard's quote here, because he's talking about we've got to learn to master two things. Learn to master two things, the techniques and the principles of setting and achieving goals. When we learn to master the techniques and the principles, and I suspect, John, that that's one of the reasons that 59% of adults in this nation either never or rarely set goals, because they've never mastered the techniques or the principles. They don't know how to do it so that it's effective. And so therefore, they're making decisions, bad decisions, that about goals that lead to their incompetence. That's one of the things I love about this. Tonight, we're going to take you worlds towards mastery. What we're doing tonight is the mastery of principles. And as you apply the principles, you'll get mastery in the techniques of setting and achieving goals. Only 9.2% of adults in this nation proclaim that they have ever really set and achieved a goal. And yet, what we know is that explicit goals, those who have explicit goals, are 10 times more likely to achieve those goals. Well, this is so important and so powerful. Okay, there are three, in the Griffin Hill methodology, which we adopt wholly in sixth dimension, in that sixth dimension philosophy about goals and goal setting, mastery of the principles and the techniques, there are three types of goals. And we're going to talk briefly about all three of those types. Number one, there's a debut goal. And it's that debut goal. The day you sign up for sixth dimension, you've got a goal orientation. There's a reason you signed up. You've got something you want to achieve. You've got something you want to accomplish. And you've got that in your mind, even if you don't make it as explicit as we've just described in terms of the research. You've got a goal in mind. Now, we'd like you to write that down, but that debut goal is normally kind of a short-term goal. But the other characteristics of a debut goal is it doesn't have all the sophistication of mastery of principles and techniques. It's just what springs immediately from your soul and your heart about something you want to be different in your life, without all the bells and whistles and the sophistication that we're going to get into tonight. That's debut goal. Second type of goal is the kind of goal that you should be setting here in coaching sessions each week using your high performance journal. Anytime there's any kind of instruction, that's an opportunity to use high performance journal. So you come out of instruction asking yourself, what 3 to 5 things stood out to me? Making sure that that instruction is not lost, but that when you use the high performance journal, you more deeply embed it. That it's called learning elaboration. That's how the high performance journal is built, so that we facilitate learning elaboration, deepening, making sure we understand. Coming out of that, what 3 to 5 things stood out to me, we get that goal orientation. What do I want to have happen? What's the desired outcome? Now, that's a short term. So whenever we engage in high performance journal goals, by their nature, they are short term. What do I want to have happen, in the next week or the next 2 weeks or within this month? What is it I want to have happen because of what I just learned? And then we follow it with step 3 in your high performance journal. What am I willing to commit to do in order to make that thing happen? Well, again, now we've taken thought, instruction, and turned it into a goal orientation. And we've got a goal orientation that we turn into an action for bias, or a bias for action. And that changes our world. Those are usually short-term goals. Third type of goal is what we call lifelong goals, or long-term goals. They might be long-term in the sense that it's going to take me a quarter of the year, or a half of the year, or an entire year, or 5 years to achieve. When I was a young man, age 21, I had just returned home from traveling abroad. I lived in Japan for 2 years, and I wanted a roadmap for my next 5 years of my life. And I deliberated, I worked on this roadmap. And this is the kind of goal that we're talking about. I had things that within that next five years, I wanted to accomplish: education and academic goals, fitness and health goals. I had financial goals. Well, doesn't that sound a lot like sixth dimension? So in Japanese, we might say naruhodo. No wonder sixth dimension emerges, because I looked at those dimensions of the human experience and asked myself, over the next 5 years, what do I want to have happen? Including some sort of hallmark experiences that I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to run a marathon. I wanted to accomplish some things with academia. So all of that lifelong plan I laid out. Well, it's interesting. I didn't honestly give it the attention that it deserved throughout the next several weeks, months, and years. But I did pay attention to it at year five. And that fifth year, I pulled it out and went through every item. And you know what? I had accomplished more than 90% of the things on my list because I had taken the time to program my mind for that achievement. They just happened. So that's the kind of goals that we're talking about. And that's really where we're going to focus tonight. We call that kind of goal setting smarter goals. Now, I'm going to come back to a debut goal. Randall, when he signed up 2.5, maybe 3 weeks ago, Randall had something in his soul that he just wanted to accomplish. And the advent of a opportunity meeting with Sixth Dimension brought that out in him and caused him to say, now's the time. Randall, what was, unmute if you would, Randall, what was that goal that sort of just sprung from your soul?
Well, I wanted to lose weight, and actually I wanted to lose it kind of quick, and
okay, so there started it working. If you remember what we just said about debut goals, we said that these might be a week, 2 weeks, a month, kind of short term. Randall wanted to lose weight, and he wanted to lose weight in a kind of a short-term way, not over the course of a year. So, Randall, when I visited in Henderson on Friday, you reported some success on that goal. In fact, you reported that you were down 7.5 pounds. And that's really, what, 2 weeks? A little more than 2 weeks?
That was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So debut goal, Randall did exactly what I had done. He programmed that in and said, use the advent of the opportunity meeting to say, I'm doing it, I'm acting on it, I'm committed. And he began, and within 2 weeks was down 7.5 pounds. Now, however, Randall, I understand from Jonna, you've got an update. Have you gained 5 back?
No, I'm down 11.5 pounds now.
So everybody, you've got to understand what this means. This is an additional 4 pounds weight loss since last Friday. So Randall is just, he's learned some things. He's been committed to what he's doing. I've looked at pictures of his garden. Everything that Randall is doing here is born out of that debut goal. In that instant, that of the advent of that opportunity meeting where Randall says, dang it, I'm committed. I want to lose weight. I'm going forward with Sixth Dimension. I'm going to get started on this. And in just about 2.5 weeks, maybe a little more, Randall is down 11.5 pounds. What a remarkable success. And we hear those stories all over. Randall, salute, my friend. Well done. I applaud you. I hope everybody, wherever they're sitting, is applauding you right now. I'm just so proud of you. Thank you, John and Cammie. Look, we're just so excited. That's the power of that debut goal, is that we made the commitment, we got started, and we acted. That's the power of Sixth Dimension in our lives. Okay, we're going to turn our attention. We've talked about debut goals, celebrated Randall. We've talked about high-performance journal goals that might be short-term in their nature. By the end of today's coaching session, you will have some ideas, things that you want to accomplish because of this coaching session. Those will be short-term. You'll capture them in your high-performance journal. Today we're going to talk about smarter goals. Now, you've heard of smart goals. I'm going to lose my jacket. I apologize. You've heard of SMART goals. And you know what that's all about. If I asked you what the acronym meant and put it up on the board, you could tell me. Well, we're going to do this in a little bit different way. So you can kind of dismiss some of what that means when you've heard about SMART goals, because the Griffin Hill and Sixth Dimension way is a smarter way. And as we talk about smarter goals tonight, you're going to learn about some of the tools that are available to you in Sixth Dimension. Some of you may have begun tinkering with them. So on your achievement page, the Achievement Hub, you've got that little orange button at the top that says My Goals. Well, that will guide you through smarter goals. It's part of a richer thought process about smarter goals in the Sixth Dimension methodology. We're also going to be adding, I think by conference on Saturday, a goal wizard that will add some additional depth here. But let's talk about this in terms of two types of goals. Means goals. Whoops, I'm going to reverse those. Well, ends goals. So if we start with that end in mind, as Mr. Covey is wont to say, start with the end in mind. Well, it's very much like what we do in High Performance Journal, where we say, what did you just learn here? What do you want to have happen? What's the desired end? What's the desired outcome? Now, when you do this, you might facilitate good ends goals by just writing some paragraphs. And so in the Goal Wizard, or in the quick add My Goals piece, there's a place for you to just write. And I was doing this just the other day, just testing the technology, actually, as one of our great course developers, instructional scientists, was working on this. I was just testing out the technology. And as I was reflecting and writing, I realized how important it is to me to persist in my lifelong learning pursuit. And so I wanted to memorialize that in terms of, as I wrote, this unfolded to me. I hadn't thought about it before I started writing, but as I just started writing about, what do I want to have happen in my life? What's important to me? What do I care about? What do I need to do in terms of my work-related activities? And as I got writing, I thought, man, I want to make a commitment. I want to make a commitment around my reading. And so I set a reading goal for the year. Well, that was the desired end. I wanted to read X number of books over the course of the upcoming year, and I wanted to break that down by week and day. Those are ends goals. Well, I could say, well, that looks like an ends goal, but if I thought it up, to what end do I want to do that reading? Well, I want to be a better performer for all of you. I care enough about all of you that I'm hungry to get the very best research available on all those dimensions of the human experience. The dimension of wellness, health and physical fitness. The dimension of intellect, lifelong learning and scholarship fitness. The dimension of social, emotional, and relationship fitness. The dimension of industry, financial and career fitness. The dimension of spiritual fitness. And the dimension of achievement and achievement fitness. I'm so concerned and so committed to you that I want to be a better performer. So that was part of why I selected that end. But that's not all. I could take it another level up, and I could just say, I just want to be more useful, more intelligent. It's just what I want to be. Well, all three of those are ends goals, and there's probably a hierarchy to them. I want to be more useful and more intelligent. I want to be a better performer for all of you. So therefore, I want to read a certain number of books. Well, those are all ends goals. So one of the things that you can see here is that an end goal might have multiple levels. But once you get to a level that you're comfortable with saying, okay, I think that's a workable end, and it expresses my desires to be a better performer for all of our sixth dimension partners and friends, and it expresses my end desire to be more useful and to be more knowledgeable. So now I've got an end that I can work with. Now comes the means goal. Ends goals are what springs from the desires of your heart. So in that quick ad or in the goal wizard, you can just take some time to reflect and write and let that stimulate what springs from your soul. It's not required. That writing field is not a required field. Neither are the higher order ends goals required fields. But by the time you get to an end that looks like, I want to read X number of books in the upcoming year, now that's a good desirable end. Now we're prepared to apply our means goals. This is where smarter goals come to play. So let's talk about smarter goals, a la the sixth dimension way. So we'll just get our acronym up here. Okay, there's smarter. So when we talk about smarter goals, number one is be specific. Now, you know that. You know be specific. But this is where you're going to get unique information and knowledge available to you only through Griffin Hill or Sixth Dimension. How do you get specific? What's the technique? What's the technology? Sometimes people say, well, I want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Well, that's specific. But how does that differ from measurable? There's really no distinction. So why do we need measurable up there if it's the same thing as specific? So specific in the sixth dimension way means this. TFID. Type, frequency, intensity, duration. Remember, we're now talking about means goals. Now, there's another way to think about this. Ends goals we could talk about in terms of outcomes. Means goals we could talk about in terms of process. What's the process by which I will accomplish that end or that outcome? So now we're talking about means goals. T is type, F is frequency, I is intensity, D is duration. Type, what kinds of activities? In Randall's mind, he didn't just say, I want to lose a lot of weight and I want to lose it fast. He knew some things, some types of activities that he was going to engage in order to accomplish that goal. That's what T means. F, frequency. So let's just use type of activities. I might say, I can ride my bike, I can run or walk, and I can pay attention to diet and nutrition. So those might be three types of things that I could do. Let's take one of those types, bike, and let's move it to F, frequency. Well, I can say, I'm going to bike, I want to lose 30 pounds in a year, I'm going to bike once, that's inadequate frequency. So maybe we say, I'm going to bike three times a week. Now, intensity. Am I going to take my bicycle, load it on my bike rack, take it to the top of a big hill, and then sit on my bike as it coasts down that hill? That would be low intensity in terms of the workout I get. Or am I going to ride at 10 miles per hour or 18 miles per hour? Now I'm talking about intensity. And duration. I'm going to ride at 10 miles per hour three times a week, and I'm going to do that for 1 hour each time. Now you can start to see what specific means. I've got a type of activity that I'm going to engage. I've got a frequency that I'm going to use to engage that activity. I've got a level of intensity associated with it and duration. Now, that's why we talk about this in terms of ends goals and means goals. All of a sudden, all of that looks a lot like goal setting, doesn't it? I've got a goal now to ride my bicycle 3 times a week, 10 to 18 miles per hour for 1 hour. That now becomes, remember the research that we quoted at the beginning of this coaching session? Those who have explicit goals are 10 times more likely to achieve them. That's what gets you there. That's explicit. Using this very simple mechanism that you already knew in SMART goals, but we give it the Griffin Hill and sixth dimension twist so that it becomes very powerful. Okay, wow, I am over. I am so sorry. I'm gonna stay with this. Please stay with me, and we'll just gallop here. Next is measurable. When we talk about measurable, we mean give it a number, give it a number, give it quantity, number of units, number of amount of time, amount of dollars. Make it measurable by giving it a quantity. Number three, attainable. So when we talk about attainable, here's a very important principle. Again, one that you will not see anyplace else except for Griffin Hill and Sixth Dimension. Attainability means for us range. We're going to set range goals. So instead of saying, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, you might say, I'm going to lose between 5 and 40 pounds. You kind of want, if you've got 30 pounds in your mind, you kind of want these borders to bound it. And why a range goal? Well, because we want it to be attainable. If I said 30 pounds, remember what Cammie said at the very outset of this coaching session? Cammie reminded us that one of the mistakes in decisions about goals that we could make would be to make it too big, too overwhelming, so much so that we just lose sight of it and give up. And so if we're going at this for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and we're not having the Randall experience, I'm down a pound in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going, man, 30 pounds is a long way off. I don't know if I can keep this up. And so what we do is we say, look, if it's going to be attainable, how do we establish the low end range? It's incremental improvement. What would represent incremental improvement in my life? If I lost 5 pounds in the next year, would that be better than what I did the last year? Well, of course it would. You gained 15 last year. So incremental improvement helps us to set the lower end of our boundary. What's a little bit better, but reachable, totally reachable? Why do we do the upper end? Well, because another mistake that we can make in decisions about our goals is to set our sights too low. So that's why we say, look, I want to lose between 5 and 40. And now just think what happens. As soon as we lose that first 5, we're saying, I'm in the money. I've already accomplished the lower end boundary of my goal. If the year ended here, I would be satisfied that I set and accomplished a goal that was important to me. Remember where we started tonight. We've got to learn to master the principles and the techniques. You're not going to find this technique anyplace else. It's unique with our research and our practical application. This is what gives you mastery. And now, once you set reach that 5-pound goal, it gives you energy, encouragement. I've already accomplished, I've achieved. I've got confidence that I can keep going and keep achieving. And by the way, when I get here at my 30-pound limit, if I've still got green ahead of me, meaning time in the year, I'm still going. I'm not going to stop at 30 pounds. I'm going to keep working towards that absolute best body composition target that I have for myself. Setting range goals by using the lower end of the range as incremental improvement, the upper end of the range as being world class or ideal, where I'd absolutely love to be, and then being able to pursue all the way through. That's what we mean by attainable. Next, this notion of relevancy. Is the goal relevant? Look, I was privy to a discussion of an executive who received a foreign post, a European post, an executive to oversee a large part of his organization's territory in that part of the world. He reported back to his boss, the executive over him, after he arrived. Okay, this is what I've done since I arrived here. I had everybody in my organization set 5 goals and give me 3 things that they're going to do to achieve those goals. Well, think about what he did. He said, I want 5 ends goals, and 3 means goals associated with each one of them. I've reviewed every one of those goals, the ends goals and the means goals, and it turns out that only 17% of all those goals had anything to do with our organization's core mission. And the 17% of people who set those goals are responsible for 68% of all the productivity in this portion of our organization's overall work. 17% had any goal related to the core mission of the organization, and they accounted for more than 68% of all the achievement of the organization. That's first part of relevance. Make sure that your means goals are actually connected to the desired outcome, that the type of activity you select will really bring about the desired outcome. Okay, I'm going to just tell you, we're going to forego opportunity meeting tonight just to keep, I want us to get this done. This is really important, but I don't want you to overcommit your time. Second part of relevancy is this. Asking yourself 2 questions. What would happen? What good things would happen to me? What desirable things would be the outcome of my life if I were to accomplish that? Why would that be meaningful or useful to me? So it's not just relevant, it's meaningful. What desirable things would happen to me if I were to accomplish that goal of 5 to 40 pounds? And then here's the second part of this. What would happen if I did not do anything here? Why would it matter if I didn't do anything here? It's the test of meaning as it relates to relevancy. Next. Next up is time bound. I will not belabor this other than to say we only perform to deadlines. If it's not on your calendar, you won't do it. If this does not show up on my calendar for 3 times a week, maybe a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, if that does not show up on my calendar, I won't do it. I don't have a deadline. So making sure that you make this time bound, giving yourself deadlines for your means goals and deadlines for your ends goals will make all the difference. Time bound. Next, evaluate. When we talk about evaluate here, I would say evaluate really means just checking how did we do. This is a combination of evaluate, adjust, and prepare. Those 3 things in our evaluate stage. Evaluate means, okay, if it was on Tuesday and I was supposed to ride and I'm doing my evaluation on daily, did I ride today? Did I ride at least 10 miles an hour or between 10 and 18? Did I ride for an hour? Evaluate. Adjust. Man, I'm not doing this even for 45 minutes. I'm struggling to hit that full hour ever. Well, do I need to adjust my effort or do I need to adjust the goal? So evaluate, but number 2 is adjust. What do I need to adjust? My effort or the goal? Maybe I need to say, okay, I'm going to change this from an hour to a half hour. Because right now, this is what Cammie told me, this is overwhelming, and I can feel myself starting to give up. I'm going to change that. I'm going to adjust the goal a little bit by saying I'm going to ride 3 times a week, 10 to 18 miles per hour for 30 minutes at least. I might even say 30 minutes to an hour and turn that into a range goal. That's part of evaluation. And then prepare for the next period. So when we're talking about evaluation, I'm recommending that you do this evaluation along 4 horizons of time. Number 1, daily. When we talk about daily evaluation, what we mean is take 5 to 10 minutes to review all your goals for that day. What was I supposed to accomplish on today based on my calendar? And then adjust. Just 5 to 10 minutes, that's all. Remember our little research study? This wasn't the J.R. Stroop. Aronson and Steele. Aronson and Steele had people write, reflect, and write for 5 minutes. What would it be like to be a university professor, or what would it be like to be a soccer hooligan? And in that 5 to 10 minutes, they did all the priming required to elevate performance. That's what happens here. Every day, using your high performance journal, leveraged against your SMART goals, and now you're going to see this great integration. So when you come to conference on Saturday, you're going to see this great integration of high performance journal and SMARTer goals and a calendar that's going to show up to give that to you. So that, how am I doing? What am I adjusting? And what do I need to do along 4 horizons? So if I'm doing this daily, what do I need to do tomorrow? Now I've got to prepare for tomorrow. What are my goals for tomorrow? Well, in that 5 to 10 minutes, you're now priming your mind for achievement in the upcoming day. That's the prepare portion. So evaluate, adjust, prepare. Daily, 5 to 10 minutes. Next, weekly, 10 to 20 minutes. Don't do more than this. Don't do more than 20. Don't do more than 10. Try to keep it on this short end here. I do my weeklies every Sunday. It's a day that I take sabbatical from work and work-related activities, but it's a day that I get organized and thoughtful about my upcoming week and reviewing my past week, asking myself, how did I do? What do I need to adjust? And how do I prepare for the upcoming week? 10 minutes might be adequate most of the time. Sometimes it'll take you a little bit longer. You could do, on this next one, either monthly or quarterly. I choose not to do monthly, because if I'm doing this every week in the way that I should, I'm just fine doing this once a quarter. It's adequate. In fact, monthly gets in the way for me. You might like monthly, but for me, I do quarterly. And again, I would keep this, I'd even try to the 10, but I might expand it to say 30. 10 to 30 minutes, once a quarter, saying, how did I do in this past quarter? What do I need to adjust? What does the upcoming quarter look like? And then annually. Now, annually, for me, historically, in fact, I just told Todd, our instructional scientist, this before. Normally, annually takes me at least 2 days up to a couple of weeks, so I could spread over a couple of weeks. With the Goal Wizard in Sixth Dimension, I can get this done in 2 hours annually, but I'm going to say 2 to 5. Once a year, just spread out over several days, give yourself 2 to 5 hours to just engineer your upcoming year. What do you want to have happen? What are you going to do to make that happen in terms of these activities? Finally, the R, record. Well, now you've got this wonderful tool set in the High Performance Journal to be able to record it. Now, all of this mechanism is just a powerful way to accomplish, to set and achieve goals. This is what we mean when we say master the principles and the techniques of setting and achieving goals. And when you do, when you do this, you will be making explicit goals. That means you will be 10 times more likely to achieve them. Not that 9.2% of our nation who report that they've actually achieved a goal ever in their lives, but you'll be part of what the Pareto principle talks about. So Alfredo Pareto, studying from Switzerland, looked back on his native Italy. And as he did some research about demographics and land and ownership, he discovered that 20% of the population owned or controlled 80% of the wealth. It made him curious, and he started looking at other places where this, I'll reverse it, 80-20 rule or 20-80 rule would apply. He found that in his pea garden, that 80%, 20% of the pea pods produced 80% of the peas. So this became known to us as the Pareto principle, named so by future researchers. It became the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. Well, I suggest to you that it's not just the 80-20 rule. We see this other places in history as well. So if you look at, for example, the history of the Israelite nation leaving Egypt and searching for what they thought of as a promised land, they were led by an iconic leader. If you want to study iconic leaders, I recommend to you studying this Moses who led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Fascinating study in leadership. But one of the things that we read is that people think that Moses was aimless because they wandered for 40 years. And before they got to this destination that they called the promised land. Well, the truth is he wasn't aimless. And the truth is that within 13 months, they stood at the borders of the promised land. And Moses chose out a representative from each one of those 12 tribes that represented his Israelite nation and sent them in to spy out the land. He gave them very specific instructions. Check the land, see what it is. Is it hilly? Is it rocky? Are there places of stronghold, places from which we can build defenses and attack? Search out the land. Is it fertile? Will it sustain our people? Search out the cities. Are they strong or are they weak? Search out the people. Do they live in tents or do they live in rock houses? What kind of people are they? Are they warriors? Or are they, sloths? What kind of people are they? Well, these people came back with a report. When I went to Israel, here in my native Utah, if you drive the freeway, all along from my home in Provo up through Salt Lake and beyond, on the freeway, there are these stamped concrete icons about the 2002 Winter Olympics. That we hosted here in Utah. Well, in Israel, stamped in the concrete along the freeways are two people carrying a pole. And on that pole is a large bunch of grapes. Well, probably multiple bunches, but it looked like just a single bunch. So dense were they. That's exactly where this story comes from, or that icon comes from, this story. They came out, two of them had to carry a single bunch of grapes as evidence that this was in fact a very fertile land. But when they gave the report of the people that occupied the land, they said, they're giants. We look like grasshoppers to them. In other words, fear, uncertainty, and doubt began to sink in. And they said, we cannot go in there. They'll just step on us. We look like grasshoppers to them. That was the report of 10 out of the 12. But two of the 12 said, yeah, the land is fertile. And the people are giants. And we do look like grasshoppers to them. But we can take them. We can do this. Two of the 12 said that. 10 of the 12 had already persuaded the multitude that this was too dangerous. And so the multitude said to these two, you two, stop talking. Because if you keep talking like this, we will stone you. And so therefore, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness until everybody was dead. All the adults over a certain age were dead, except for those two. And then they went in and took that promised land. Now that is a great study and research, but what is 2 divided by 12? 16.666%, or 17%, which is exactly what we saw right here. I suspect that if you want to be among the 17% of all the world's population that controls the destiny, that makes things happen, that controls wealth, it all happens right here in smarter goals. So once you've got your goal looking like this, this is what you have to ask from that story, from this leadership of Moses, this iconic leader. Here are the questions that you get to ask yourself. The same questions that the people of Moses had to answer for themselves. Can you see it? Now that you've got, can you see yourself losing between 5 and 40 pounds? Can you see yourself riding your bicycle 3 times a week, 10 to 18 miles per hour, 30 minutes to 60 minutes each time? Can you see that? That's question number one. When you get to your smarter goal, it's all complete. Can you see it? Second, if you can visualize it, if you can see it, here's question number two. Do I believe it? In my heart of hearts, do I believe that I can become that vision that I see in my mind? Question number three, am I committed? Will I do it? And until the answer to each one of those, see, believe, commit, do, are yes, you're not done. You've got work to do here on your smarter goals until you say, yes, I can see it. Yes, I believe it. And yes, I am committed to it. That's the power. That's when you become one of the 17 percenters. The 17 percenters who will control the destiny of this nation and the world, who will control the wealth of this nation and the world, who will grow and become and dream and become everything that they'd ever anticipated being. Now, that's the power of smarter goals. We told you there are three types. Debut goals, Randall's killing it. Short-term goals, a la what you're going to do right now with your high-performance journal. Would you please take a moment and reflect and write? Where did you have ideas that stood out to you? Where did you have concepts that you're saying, I cannot forget this. I want to be part of the 17%. This is important to me. Choose 3 to 5 things and write them. And then in the context of that, what do you want to have happen? A goal orientation. And then finally, 1 to 3 things. What are you willing to commit to do to make that happen? Okay, I'm going to give you all just a little bit of time to reflect and write. This is where you're programming your mind and your soul and every cell of your body to achieve, just by selecting what 3 to 5 things were important to me here. What do I want to have happen? What 1 to 3 things am I willing to commit to do? Now, Georgia, when you had a chance to reflect and write, I'd be honored if you would unmute your mic and share with us one idea that stood out to you tonight.
Well, this is what I've thought about all day, is getting these goals, these high performance goals. And I am so excited. You did an amazing job tonight. breaking this down and getting some clarity to me. First of all, just go back into the beginning and set those goals and evaluate them the way you've taught us tonight, and then to contact my downline and encourage them to do the same.
Wow, Georgia, I love that. If none of the rest of you picked that up, did you hear what just happened? Georgia's saying, this is terrific. I'm going to get the mask on me first, and then I'm going to contact everybody in my downline and make sure that they get the mask on themselves. Georgia, beautiful, wonderful, powerful. Thank you. Teresa, one thing that stood out to you tonight in our discussion.
I liked the idea of the range that you talked about, that you set a shorter term goal and then a longer range goal so that you're always working towards completing that goal, but yet you will accomplish something. So it will keep you motivated to keep going.
Isn't that just a powerful concept that we set that lower end range by saying, what would incremental improvement, even if it took me all year, it would be incremental improvement as compared to the past. And I'm already in the money, so it keeps me motivated and moving forward. Teresa, great takeaway. I love it. Anybody else have something you'd like to share? Okay, if not, oh, go ahead, Jonna.
I like the specifics. For me, I like it when you write it out there, the type, the frequencies, everything's written down specifically. That's a strong roadmap for a daily, to look at that every day and just follow through with that. That's powerful for me.
John, I'm so glad that you picked up on that. And yet not really available anyplace else in the goal literature. And yet look how powerful. And when that lands on your calendar and we provide for you, what you'll see on Saturday is that inside your high performance journal, you'll now have this calendar and you'll see it week by week and by month and by quarter and by annual. You'll be able to see all of that and just do that evaluation. Love it. Jonna, what about you?
Well, I was just going to say that I was one of those people that never set goals because I didn't know how to. And this broken down is so valuable to me. I had set a goal in the last 2 weeks. I've been working on trying to get up early and exercise. And that's something that I have wanted to do for years and haven't done. It's very hard for me to get up in the mornings. And anyway, I've been doing that, but just having this broke down, and I like the part about evaluating, seeing where we are, you know, tweaking it, you know, making it better or adjusting it if we need to. And I'm just so grateful for this breakdown. It's amazing. Thank you.
Jonna, thank you for that insight on a whole host of issues. If you pick that up, remember this whole notion, formula of smarter goals gives us a step-by-step way to get there. But that evaluation, so that we're saying exactly what we did before. Let's not let the, in the lab, at our desk, on Sunday, when we're really well rested, and we're saying, oh yeah, I can get up every morning by 5 o'clock. But when 5 o'clock rolls around, that's a little harder. So we evaluate and we say, okay, Did I just make the wrong goal here? Because remember, decisions, mistakes and decisions about goals are the single greatest cause of human incompetence. I made a mistake. That's not sustainable for me in my life. I've got to adjust my goal. So we're not beating ourselves up. Oh, I'm such a slacker. I can't get up at 5 o'clock every day. No. Let me adjust this to something that is sustainable over the long run. I love, Jonna, that you picked up the power of the evaluation here. Evaluate, adjust, prepare for the next period. And if we're doing that every day, every week, every quarter, and every year, we're programming our minds for achievement. Man, I just love that. Look, tonight, we've got well on our way towards mastering the principles and techniques of setting and achieving goals. Now, we've got work to do. Conference is a big part of that. So if you're not yet registered, get registered, come to conference. We'll begin to help you to understand the resources and tools in every one of these dimensions so that you can have a rich, fulfilling goal-setting experience. Okay, great to be with you. We'll end there. I'll stay on as long as anybody wants to ask questions. But thank you for bearing with me. This one, I've never been able to do this in 20 minutes. I should have seen it coming. Thank you for being patient with me. But I'll stay on and answer questions as long as anybody wants to ask.